welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction hunter entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return to you again on a Monday. And I've got to be honest, a bit of a funk has fallen over Haunt Weekly Towers.
Yeah.
A lot has been going on. Some of it good, some of it bad. I don't know how much detail we're going to get into it. But we've been feeling a little funky this week for a lot of reasons. So we decided we wanted to do a little therapy.
Yeah.
We'll get it that way. This is a therapeutic episode. It's cathartic.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about just some of the things, but admittedly a lot of the things that we hate about being haunters.
Yeah. Because there are some issues that come with being a haunter, especially being a home haunter.
Yeah, but we're talking broadly. But yeah, a couple of things are more pointed at us being home haunters. But yes, indeed. So we're going to be talking about that this week in a bid to get some things off our chest. Not that we would trade being haunters for anything in the world.
Oh, no. We love being haunters.
But with every good thing, there are trade-offs, and that's what we're discussing today.
Yeah.
I'm sure you out there will identify with many of these things, and if you do, let us know. We're at hauntweekly.com. We're Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. Comments go there, too. Also, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. No comments go there that I'm aware of, but definitely feel free to get your podcast there.
Yeah.
Well, before we light this candle of sadness, it's time to do conference reminders. Crystal, please do us the honors.
Okay, February 21st through the 23rd, it's the Haunt X, the Haunters DIY Expo in Pomona, California at the Fairplex. Touring Asylum Haunted House, lights on and off for that, features a costume ball. HauntX.com for more info.
All right, after that, March 19th through the 22nd, it's Trans World Halloween, an attraction show in St. Louis, Missouri, at the America Center, co-located with the Trans World Christmas Show and the Room Escape Show. They have 5 conferences, 3 of them are happening at the same place at the same time. Good luck going to everything. There will be tours of the Darkness and Lent Brewery behind the scenes, and also features a party at City Museum on Thursday, a performance by Vampire Circus on Friday, and a werewolf ball on Saturday. For more information, go to the Haas Show, that's HaaSHow.com.
Okay. May 15th through the 17th, it's West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon at the Doubletree Hotel Portland. They will be touring the Fear Haunted House. It also includes a costume ball, a silent auction, and the Nightmare After West Coast Haunters Convention Film Festival with a secret selection of films. HauntersConvention.com for more info, but not about which films.
Yes, indeed. They're keeping that part secret. All right. Same weekend, May 15th through the 17th, it's the Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention at the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. Features a ghost hunt, a costume party, and haunted house tours. OhioHHC.com for more info. I no longer need to get the deep breath to get the domain out. Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah. All right. June 5th through the 7th, it's Midwest Haunters Convention in Schaumburg, Illinois, at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center Hotel. They will be touring Abandoned Haunted House Complex, Disturbia, and Evil Intentions via the Lost Souls Bus Tour with Japes. It'll also features a costume party and a kid zone. MidwestHauntersConvention.com for more info on that.
Lots of neat stuff coming up from the conference lineup, definitely. Find something in your area, at the very least. If you're not trapped, you like traveling, you probably got something pretty close to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. First things first, we do have a quick update on our haunt. Now, last time we were on here, we discussed how they paved, 3/4 of the road.
Yes.
They had done one of the passes on our side. We're trying to fix an issue with some manhole cover, around the bend.
Right.
And then they finished the other side. Well, now they have finished everything.
Yes, they're gone. Yay!
We can report to you that everything is 100% complete. So yes, Crystal, you put in the notes, yes, we did cover this last week, but they had not yet finished the last strike.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about using hammers on that manhole
cover. We were going to go out and do some damage if we had to.
Oh, no, they were using hammers.
Oh, they were... Okay, that's true. I was going to use hammers, too, if they... Yeah. Yes. They got whatever the problem was handled, and I got to say, the road is actually quite beautiful. I mean, we put photos of it on our Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. Go check it out there. It's beautiful road. It's perfectly level. It's in line with the curb. The drains are properly set up, which is a big, big deal in New Orleans if you can't figure that out on your own.
No, we no longer have a lake when it rains.
No. They did shift some of the standing water to our front yard, but not nearly as much.
Right.
It used to be whenever we would get a heavy rain, right where our driveway met the street would be this pond, and we named it Lake George.
Yeah.
It was big enough, and right after, I think, was Hurricane Isaac, we had a duck take up residence for about a week.
Yeah.
We called him George because,
yeah. Well, why not?
That's George on Lake George.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do not have what could be qualified as a lake, just a puddle of water that's right at the end of our in our driveway, not where it meets the street. It's more where the driveway meets the sidewalk now.
Yeah.
All in all, I think it's happy. I mean, yeah, this is a project that began in June.
Yeah.
And we're talking about it in fucking February.
Yeah. Yep.
And
Good job getting one court done.
Yeah. I mean, they literally tore up the other side of Vivian Court, I think middle of June.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the mid to late June, they tore it up. And so you got June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February. I just counted 9 months.
Yeah.
And now it's finally done. We finally can drive the full way around the court without hitting road construction.
Right.
For the first time in about that amount of time.
Yeah.
This was the construction that canceled our haunt season. And I also went through, there were other patches they did similar tear out on Huntley, which is the main road that leads to our court, and another road nearby named Anson, which runs kind of parallel to the court, if that makes any sense, to the long side of the court. And they tore it out both directions. They've gone through and they paved both of those sections, but not finished it. It was really weird. They put the first layer of tar, which you would walk through and you would see that the road was like 6 inches below the curb.
Yeah.
And it got really gnarly when looking at the drains, because the drains, the way they're positioned, would be significantly above the road by about 4 to 5 inches. And so for there to be any drainage, the street would have to be under 5 inches of water.
Mm-hmm.
So they went through, they leveled all that. They are completely done with construction in our neighborhood. Now, the counter to all this is the intersections where Huntley and Vivian meet are torn to hell.
Yeah, because of heavy equipment driving.
Heavy equipment
up.
Going on a day after day for all these months. They're torn to hell, so they're probably going to have to do something with that. But hopefully not in goddamn October.
Hopefully.
You know, you know what, guys? Just get some bags of impact gravel and put it in the holes, or Mardi Gras beads or something.
No.
Put it in the holes and walk away. So, yeah. Long story short, check out Haunt Weekly on Facebook. See the new photos, of the new street. It's great. It's beautiful. I wish it didn't take 8 or 9 goddamn months to do.
Right.
But it's done.
So, if we're so happy about the road, why are we discussing something sad? Because we're sad. Well, it's not really sadness. It's a transition period for me in my career. Because Thursday, I quit my job. Not going to go into a lot of detail, like we said. It's a good move for me personally, and I think for the household, but there is that question of what comes next.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're ever in a position anywhere, in a haunt or in a job where you aren't happy, go ahead and take the chance and leave, because your mental health is everything.
You know, I had a situation, this was many, many years ago. Now we're talking probably about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I had a job. The commute was a motherfucker. It was like a 45-minute commute to get there.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was a bad, bad. And it wasn't like it was rush hour traffic. This was 45 minutes of straight driving each direction.
Yeah.
to get there, and the job was a terror. I signed on with Optimism. They fired me after a week.
Yeah.
And I remember when it happened, I was really depressed about it. I felt like such an epic failure.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a point in my life I felt like more of a failure than that moment. Mm-hmm. But I look back on it now a decade later, they did me a fucking favor by firing me.
Yeah.
I wasn't right for the job. I wasn't what they wanted. That wasn't what I wanted and needed.
Right.
But I sure as fuck would have held on to it for way too long if they'd let me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've been in that position where they didn't let me go, where I've stayed, and it ended very badly.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm glad you got out of this very, very unhealthy position for you.
Yeah.
Things do seem to be looking decent. Yeah. You've got one interview coming up.
Right, and I've got... There's actually a lot of opportunity right now in New Orleans for the type of work I do.
So... Please don't worry about us. And
no.
Plus, we have an Ellie in the house who's stepping up to pick up some of the slack. We're going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be fine. I mean, we still have, you know, a 2-adult income household.
Yeah.
That is one of the advantages we have.
No, in this relationship.
Yeah.
This bizarre, fucked up relationship we have.
Yeah.
So, we're going to be okay. This isn't us trying to, you know, please donate to our Patreon. We don't even have a Patreon.
No, but I've been thinking more about it.
People keep telling us we need to. I don't know, man. Last time I launched a Patreon, it went terribly.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to go down that road again or not. But long and short of it is, we're going to be fine. It's okay. It's just, yeah, it put a pall on the house.
Yeah.
Not so much that she quit, but so much that the circumstances that forced her to quit happened.
Yeah, exactly.
How's that?
That's perfectly fair.
So here's the thing. Moving on.
Yes.
I want to be clear. We love being honors.
Yes, we do.
We love that we get to scare people. We love that we get to make awesome things. We love that the kids refer to us as the Addams Family House.
Yeah. Or all the delivery drivers know us as the skeleton house.
Yeah. We have this cool rep, and we get to be part of this amazing community. I mean, I was always very nervous joining and getting more involved in the haunt community.
Right.
One of the reasons I waited as long as I did to get as active as we've gotten in more recent years is because we're just home haunters, man. At the end of the day, we're just two random people slinging panels in our garage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
And so that, and it's very easy to be intimidated by all the great things other people make and do. But then what you realize is they do amazing stuff here, you do amazing stuff there, and we all come together and we learn from each other.
Yeah. Well, and we both suffer from imposter syndrome in multiple facets of our life.
This is true. But no, the thing for me was always, you know, the community has been really great.
Yes.
Honestly, and I think, you know, I should probably say a thank you to the Garage of Evil for starting the normalization of sharing haunt tips and tricks.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, Garage of Evil is no longer, the forums at least, are no longer a thing. I don't know if the site is or not. It's no longer a thing. They shut down because they started this trend of people sharing tips and tricks. And they normalized, before that, everyone was stupid secretive.
Yeah.
Like, you want to learn how to make a Pepper's Ghost? No one's going to tell you.
No,
fuck you. Figure it on your own.
Yeah.
I had to figure it out on my own, like the 20,000th time someone figured it out, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way the community was. And then they normalized the sharing and the cross-referencing of information.
Right.
And then it's just ballooned on social media.
Yeah.
In particular, Facebook, but all over. Instagram, too. It's just exploded. And that makes me so happy. And
yeah.
I love haunt chat. I love the get-togethers. I love the conferences. That's been amazing. So we love being haunters.
Haunters hang out. Yeah.
So that was the point of all that.
Yes.
Very roundabout way to say we love being haunters.
Yes.
That said, there's a lot of things there are things we could do without.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stress. There's money issues. And we're going to go into a lot of that down below. So with that in mind, we just kind of created a list of 10 things that we hate about being haunters. Maybe hate's too strong of a word for some of these.
Yeah.
But honestly, you got to have that clickbait title or no one listens. So, sorry, not sorry. 10 things we definitely could do without about being haunters.
Yes.
All right.
And if you have tips on how to help relieve some of this.
Yes, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter. Hit us up, youtube.com/hauntweekly. Leave a comment.
Yeah.
Please, I love it.
That doesn't apply to this first one.
No,
though.
You're not fixing the first one.
No. The first one is the obsession about safety.
Oh, man.
Because, go ahead.
I was just, you know, the thing is this. I remember the very carefree days of porch haunting when I was much younger.
Yeah.
And I did some stupid ass shit. I reached and grabbed ankles in a position where I could have gotten stomped on very easy without a good retreat space.
Well, not only that, but you were at the top of, you know, the little stairs to your parents' house, so people could have gotten scared and fallen down them.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many things we did that I look back on it as an add-on and go, Jesus, how did I or someone else not get hurt?
Yeah.
I'm very glad no one did. And the thing is this, we always put safety first, and that's why it's number one on this list.
Right.
Safety always is first.
Yes.
Even on this list.
Yes.
Right? And we're stupid proud of our safety record.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone 15 years, probably close to 10,000 or 12,000 people through. We'd have to run through and total everything up. And there's a few years we don't have numbers, so we'd have to estimate. But somewhere in that ballpark, and we have not had a single injury.
Right.
Never busted out the first aid kit.
No.
Had a few scares.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, there are a few times we should have had an injury, maybe.
Yeah, I am pretty sure that the guy who broke the 2x4 with his shoulder had a bruise the next day.
Yeah, I'm sure he at least acknowledged what happened the next day.
Yes.
To be fair, that was him.
Yeah.
But that was a lesson for us about how to build for that type of unpredictable behavior, too.
Right.
So, it goes both ways. But it's also very, very rough to make a haunt that is that safe.
Yeah.
You have to be incredibly safety-oriented and safety-focused. I mean, no one becomes a haunter so they can make and spray fire retardant on everything.
No.
No one becomes a haunter so they can check and make sure they have 36-inch walkways.
Right.
No one becomes a haunter to put a fire extinguisher and a fire detector up in every room.
Yeah.
A smoke detector in every room. No one does that. Well, I guess they detect fire, too, through proxy. God, my brain's just like, what's the little disc thing he called that goes in the ceiling? The toilet cake that goes in the roof.
Oh, God.
The urinal cake.
Has a blinky light.
The urinal cake with a blinky light that goes in the roof. My brain just totally shit the bed on that. It was hilarious. No one becomes a haunter to like buy a crap ton of smoke detectors or build fire suppression systems or worry about sprinklers.
No.
And it's killed so many great ideas we've had for scares.
Oh, yeah.
The number of times we've come up with scares and, wow, this would really scare the pee out of people. This would be code yellowing all over the shop. This is great. We got to do this.
By the way, quick shout out to Code Yellow. I finally listened to
your
podcast.
I didn't mean it as that, but yeah, good reminder. Good opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent work you guys are doing.
Yeah,
awesome
exactly.
stuff. Complete the shout out. Code Yellow, the podcast. If you need more haunted attraction related podcasts, check out Code Yellow in iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Ever find our podcast or sold. What the hell was I talking about?
Code yellowing and scares that are dangerous.
But we had these scare ideas where we would come around and go, well, what happens if some idiot does this?
Yeah.
And like, well, then that person gets a face full of something unpleasant.
Exactly.
That person probably goes to the hospital. Or the morgue.
Well, and I mean, and we've seen some, you know, in the early days, we would spitball with ourselves and with my dad. And one of the ideas that he's always liked and we've seen implemented in a couple of haunts is the wrong way or hidden door.
Yeah.
Where you're trapped in a room with all the doors, but none of them are really the door to go through. And, you know, people get shut down for that shit.
it's a fire code issue. And also for us, it would be a throughput murderer.
Yeah. Not only that, but it's, it gets really annoying. It's not scary. It's just annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I've seen this room. The guy's popped out. Just let me go.
Yeah.
Let me go to the next place.
It's not, and it's even more annoying when you do the, they show you out and then you loop back around to the same room.
Yeah.
It's like, really, asshole?
Yeah.
We're doing this?
Yeah.
Really?
Well,
really?
Well, that, the trip to Houston, that horrible hotel one in close to Baytown. I don't remember where it was right now.
Another one, Tomodon. Go ahead.
But, you know, where I said, hey, that's where we need to go. And they're like, no, you have to go around the other way. And I'm like, but that way is blocked by all the junk. And they're like, no, there's a way around there. So you go over there. Oh, look, the hallway just lit up. The one that you were just pointing at because it wasn't completely dark. Oh, my God. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, it's even worse when like, yeah, we fooled you. No, you didn't.
No,
you didn't. Sorry. You might have fooled a lot of people, but you didn't quite get us.
No, I think that we as haunters develop haunt vision.
Yeah.
Where we can see in the dark a little bit better.
How many hours have we spent in our haunt looking for light leaks?
Oh, yeah.
That trains you in finding the light leaks in other haunts.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that in a minute. That's another issue.
All right.
But yeah, but the thing is, like I said, I kind of miss those carefree days when I was a teenager, haunting in my parents' front porch, not really giving a good goddamn about safety. And you're 15, you're 14 to 16, you're indestructible. You don't care about anything. You're throwing yourself off heights on, look at me! And then you're rubber, man. You bounce off everything. I'm way too goddamn old for that shit now.
Yeah.
But no, I miss that feeling of not caring about it and just designing and scaring based on what I thought would have the biggest impact.
Yeah.
And that is not today.
No. No.
All right, that's just number one.
Yeah.
Number two is money, time, and space limitations. Next to safety, the other great limitations on what we can do is the cage factors,
right?
The triumvirate of money, time, and space. If you are not a member of the zombie army, you are familiar with these problems.
Right.
That is not a criticism of zombie army. I wish I had that kind of money and space and...
Right, and forethought to buy a bunch of land and start building and start the legend and have, you know, the money to do exactly what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I am so envious of John LaFlamboy and his group and what they do and what they're able to do.
Right.
It's amazing stuff. And doing the tour of Hell's Gate behind the scenes just drove a pin into that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I can't do this crap in my garage.
No.
Even if I did have unlimited money,
I
would have space limitations. I have time limitations.
Right.
And that's just it. To build a haunt, you need time, money, and space. You need those three things.
Yeah.
And you run out of any one, you have to make a sacrifice.
Yeah. Like, I have visions for these rooms that I would love to build. Like, love to build. But they're too big to go in the garage. You know? I mean, I can't space them down. And then they would cost the extra money, too, to get them where I would want them to be.
Yeah.
And that's part of the time limitation, not necessarily this coming October, but most years, is that I like to put a lot of detail into the scenes, and a lot of times I just don't leave myself time to do that.
Well, the same deal with sound design.
Yeah.
How many years have we done sound design, like, the day before?
Yeah, exactly.
With only a few hours and other projects to tick off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same deal. Time, these are the finite resources every haunter faces.
Mm-hmm.
And our situation as home haunters, they're even more limited. We have day jobs. We don't have a huge budget. We barely have a budget these days.
Yeah.
And we definitely don't have a lot of space. We have 625 square feet in the story.
Yeah.
That is it. And some of that square footage is taken up by walls that protect our washer, dryer, and other stuff.
Yeah.
So, and give us a little bit of storage. So, everything, you know, that's the thing. It's like, we have these limitations, and they kill so many ideas and take the wind out of so many sails, because there's been a lot of conversations where, wouldn't it be nice if we did blah, 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 but that would cost way too much. We don't have a place for it.
Yeah.
How would that work? When are we going to find time? You know what I mean? Diddly diddly dee.
Right. So. Yeah.
Number three.
All right. Not being able to scare in our own haunt. And this is worse for you than it is for me.
Well, but I'm thinking about it. I don't know. But go ahead.
But because, well, you work front of house.
Yeah.
So you spend all this time helping to build it and create these scares and everything, and you never get to see what goes on inside.
Not until I check the security camera footage at the end of the night.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one of the reasons why security cameras are way ahead of sound design every year.
Yeah.
Is because, in fact, that's one of the projects that's not done in the haunt is security cameras.
Right.
It will be done, though. I mean, that's an easy one for me. Now that we got the 10 cameras, it won't take very long.
Right.
But, yeah, that's how I experience the scares, is I get to watch them on camera.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, but it's true.
And when we first started, my brother would be able to come down every year, and he was our stalker. But since, for the past, 10 years at least, maybe 12?
Yeah.
I've been in the stalker role. I don't get to choose which role I get in my own haunt. I have to be the first person you see.
Regardless of whether or not that character basically fits you,
yeah,
or how scary or how scare oriented that character is.
Right. And lots of times I'm just a distraction in the room.
Yeah.
Until I become the stalker and scary at that point.
And your whole goal there is to simply, and you only scare if the group is stuck.
Yeah.
And you need to push them forward.
Exactly. No, I usually have something that I can bang on a wall.
You're basically a zone actor in a haunt with one zone.
Yeah. Yeah, my zone is the haunt.
Yeah. My zone is the haunt. Make that t-shirt. That's a t-shirt right there.
Yeah. But yeah, so if somebody gets stuck in the back hallway, I'll drag something along the floor or bang on the wall next to them to get them to move along.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of times, I don't, you know, there are lots of places in the haunt that I would rather be, and I would rather try different roles, but I can't do that.
Yeah, and like, I know for you, I know the way you operate, you would like to do a different role each night if you could.
Well, at least each year.
Yeah.
I'd like to play something different.
Yeah, but that's not what we get to do. Now, you do get to see the scares activate and see the reactions up close.
Right. I get to see the end result of our work in real time.
I do not. I hear it.
Yeah.
Fair amount. And outside, I get to see the aftermath, which is something I get that you don't.
Exactly.
I get to talk to them afterward, get their thoughts, and see the smiles on their faces when they get through and how much they loved it and all that. I get that part.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those
things. Yeah, because I get all of the compliments and the happy things and how the hell did you get that, pull that off in there? You know, how big is it really? Are you sure it's only that big?
Yep.
I get all of those comments from you, not from the people going through.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people are always blown away that it's only 625 square feet, and I think one of the secrets is the smaller rooms makes it so that it looks bigger. And one of the things, I've had a dream for a long time of just tearing out all the panels and doing a haunt-based, solely upon prop-based layout.
Yeah.
But I realized that would make the haunt look smaller, because the separation of the rooms is one of the things that gives it the false sense of depth.
Right.
So, well, I've never pushed for it too hard.
Right. And, well, the other thing that we do to make it seem bigger is that it's complete rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, they're complete rooms with scaled-down furniture that look realistic enough to pass.
Exactly.
It's big enough to fool your brain.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I get those. I pass them on to you.
Yeah.
You tell me about the great scares you saw inside. I check them out on the video camera later.
Yeah.
And one thing we may do this year is pick up some extra 10 cameras so I can have one to catch people's reactions as they're leaving.
Yeah, I would love that.
So that way you can see that. But the point of the matter is I think we can do a lot of neat things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we don't get to really scare in our own haunt. We have other responsibilities. Both of us have responsibilities that go way beyond being scare actor.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the scaring in the haunt for both of us is secondary or tertiary.
Right. And lots of times it's, you know, for me, I don't actually get to see, even though I'm seeing the people getting scared, I'm watching the actors. Are there any points that I need to give them? There's so much. Is the scene working? Is there anything breaking yet? you know, there's all those things that I'm also have going through my head whenever the haunt's going.
Yeah. All right. Item 4.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, bad visitors.
Yeah.
Bad visitors suck.
They do.
For me personally, especially as front of house, the worst are the crying children with parents trying to drag them through.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I've learned how to deal with that much more effectively.
Right, because, you know, we basically had a powwow
mm-hmm.
and said, look, it bums out the actors.
And it does, and I get that. So I had to find a way to deal with it, and I cannot remember where I read it. I read it online, and one part of that haunt community thing. Yeah. You got a problem, yo, the haunt community solves it. Check out the beat with the DJ revolves it.
God.
But so I ended up finding it. Someone said, well, just tell the kid they don't have to go.
Yeah.
And that's what I did, is I dropped one knee and said, hey, do you not want to go? And the kid said, no, then you don't have to go.
Right.
No one's going to make you go.
Right.
And the kid starts smiling. Then either the parent will go and leave the kid with me, which, I mean, I'll watch the kid for the 30 seconds you're in the fucking hall, and that's fine.
Yeah.
He and I will make fun of your screams inside. It'll be great.
Yeah.
We'll have a good old time laughing at you.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, trust me. Or they'll just leave, because nobody wants to make a kid start crying again.
Yeah.
I've learned this rule. No parent does.
Well, and, you know, in the age where people are talking about and having the discussion about bodily autonomy and that kind of thing, it's really important for parents to understand their kids have that.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to do something because they're too scared, they shouldn't make them.
But yeah, when you drop down and say, look, you don't have to go.
Yeah.
And the kid just starts smiling. It's a great feeling. And like, yeah, okay, yeah, I just fuck myself and these two people are not, this group might not go into the haunt.
Right.
But I made that kid happy.
Yeah.
I made him probably far more happy than I would have if I made him go in the haunt.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, lots of kids come out the other side, according to you, obviously.
Oh, God.
Laughing and
oh, yeah.
Happy
to go
through.
Some of the kids
it.
Are like on edge and I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Because there are some that are not crying, but they're clearly mortified.
Yeah.
They're clearly on that edge. And they're not breaking the rules, so I kind of have to let them in, right?
Yeah.
And they'll go in, and they'll walk out smiling and looking around and everything, and the mom is just mortified.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful one, when the mom's getting more... The kid's like, that was easy, and the mom's like, what are you talking about? But crying kids are bad. The assholes who show up to haunts and just want to punch people...
Yeah, those...
Or tear things up?
Yeah, we had one year where we shut down early. We just... We're like, sorry, everybody in line.
We took
those guys...
Destroyed our stuff. And
yeah.
We can't make it safe in time.
Yeah.
Because we had a body bag room, and this was before we were using the hook system we use now for this type
right.
of thing. We it was a learning experience.
Yeah.
But it should have been an unnecessary learning experience. We shouldn't have had to learn this.
Right.
And they went through and really just tore. These were some big kids. These were not kids. These were teenagers.
Yeah, older teens.
Older teens. They just tore down all the dummies, and we had no way of getting them out of that room right then.
Right.
Because of the way it was built. We had kind of intentionally boxed things in, and we had nowhere to put them, even if we did.
Yeah.
And so we just basically, we only had like 30 minutes left to go in the night.
Yeah.
So we just said, look, we have to shut down early. Those four kids just destroyed the fourth room of the haunt.
Yeah.
They got ejected. They didn't do anything up to that point. They got ejected, but we were unable to reopen, and that hurts. We've had our donation money stolen, had our candy stolen.
Yeah.
And like I said, we had a haunt nearly destroyed. We had one group last year who walked in with one kid with the express intent of just taking a swing.
Yeah.
At whoever struck his fancy.
Yeah.
Why he picked that guy, I don't know.
Well, so he would have swung at me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard him in line saying, watch this, as they were coming in.
Yeah.
But I was on the opposite side of the room from where you come in. And so they're like, you know, they kind of skirted around kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the next room, first person he sees, tries to take a swing at.
And they get ejected. And the asshole who did the swinging, and the whole group has to go.
Yeah.
But his three friends were mad as hell at him, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And that continued on the way out.
Oh, yeah.
Because they didn't blame us.
No.
Those three kids were literally cussing their friend out the whole way down to the sidewalk. They ended up leaving.
Yeah. Well, I told them that they couldn't be there.
They were not happy about that.
Yeah.
The three friends that were just trying to enjoy a goddamn haunted house.
Yeah, exactly.
They just, I mean, three of them wanted to enjoy a haunted house and have a good time. One of them wanted to be an asshole, ruin it for everyone.
Yep.
Sorry, that's exactly. How it is in that.
Yes. And if you haven't heard my commanding voice, it got three, well, in this case, four teenagers to stop in their tracks.
Yeah.
Because...
And the good news with all the crappy customers is no one's been hurt.
No.
I think our obsession with safety on that.
Yes.
It's just, it's really rough, especially when you have like that year where we had to close early and we didn't, we have such limited time anyway.
Yeah.
And we didn't even get to finish it out.
Yeah. And there was one year that we had, a customer who creeped on one of our young actresses and she wound up ending the night with that. She didn't feel comfortable working.
All credit to her. She went home.
Yeah.
And she came back for Halloween night and did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
But we instructed the male actors and the other people in the hall to keep a special close eye on her.
Yeah.
Because she was not in a room alone.
No. No.
She was in a room with you, if I remember.
She was in the next room, but I was still within the zone. I could clearly see what was going on.
And so could our security cameras.
Yeah. Stepped between her and the customer and got him out.
Yeah. You did right. And our front of house team knows him and knows he is not allowed on the property again, but she came back and she did a great job. I understand she needed the rest of the night. That is more than reasonable. I would have understood completely she never came back.
Yeah.
But, you know, the instructions were if that man steps on the property, it was almost a don't call the cops situation. Just start kicking the shit out of him, basically. And then call the cops. He had an accident, Ossifer.
No.
No. Okay.
We are not going on record with that. But there is a stop on him that as soon as he tries to set foot on the property, cops are called and he's told to leave.
Exactly. He's not coming. I don't think he would even try.
No. No. The parents involved really took after his local business.
Yeah. So that's a long story short there. But yeah, shitty customer, shitty visitors, definitely a bad part of being a haunter.
Yeah.
Number five is for us, admittedly, but
yeah, it's having to be a jack of all trades, and I don't necessarily see this as a bad thing.
I see this as a occasionally frustrating thing.
I will agree that it's frustrating because there are so many things that I want to do and want to learn how to do, but I can't because I just don't have the time.
Yeah, you don't.
Because I'm doing all the other stuff.
We don't have the bandwidth to focus on one area deeply enough.
Right.
Because, you know, if I had it my way, if I could, like, just haunt as I wanted to haunt, I would build, because I love building.
Yeah.
And I'd act, and that'd be it. I wouldn't. I mean, even though I am a marketer by trade.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a work thing.
Yeah, it is.
And it feels like I'm doing work so I can play rather than, you know, just enjoying the fun parts for me. And it's more than that. It's also actor management and recruitment.
Yeah.
It's also neighborhood outreach.
Right.
Sound design and to a degree lighting, though I think lighting goes with the build for me, but at the same time lighting can be a bit of a thorn too sometimes.
Yeah, but usually I you know, I'm a photographer, so I know a little bit about lighting.
But yeah, it's just it's awkward because we both have things that we love to do.
Right.
And things that maybe we're reasonably capable at.
Right.
But not things we're stoked about doing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty capable of the marketing stuff. That's, like I said, my background, my degree. I've done talks on it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at it. But that doesn't mean every October I'm thinking, goody, I get to design flyers and do social media campaigns.
Yeah.
That's not how I rock up to October.
No.
I rock up to October. We get to build a haunt and scare people.
Yeah, exactly. We get to work together.
And then that gets kind of nuked because, A, the marketing is done entirely by me, pretty much. It's
right.
My responsibility. And so we don't even get to work together on it. So yeah, there are components of it that even though I'm okay at it, I'd really rather not.
Yeah. Well, and you know,
And one of the things we've tried to do with each other is sort of step back when someone is doing something they really love.
Yeah.
Like with you, I step back on the detailing.
Yeah.
I don't get involved. That's your thing. You love doing that.
Right.
And so I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to go have a beer inside and play some video games.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to take that away from you.
Right.
And unless it's a situation where you need that second set of hands, or time limited, or you're doing something that needs extra people, I'm going to step away.
Right. And like putting down base coats and stuff is one of the most boring things to me.
But it's also relaxing in its own way, too, I find.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's a lot easier now with the plywood.
It is easier with the plywood.
Another reason to switch from OSB to plywood. Brought to you by Home Weekly. But yeah, this is part of being a home haunter, I admit, and being a small team haunter at the very least.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of haunts that are small enough this happens to them as well.
Yeah.
But it is frustrating to have all these elements. And like if we went pro, you'd have to do the business management side, you'd have to do the permitting side, you've gotta be an architect, you've gotta be a safety engineer, you gotta be all these other things.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the reason I think we covered it and why we don't go pro is because although we're really good at business and know a lot about business, we'd want to have the budget to be able to hire people to do all that stuff we don't want to do.
Yeah, agreed. Item number 6, being broke.
Uh-huh.
Halloween maxes us out financially. Between the haunt build and the haunt visits we do every year, we always enter November at least to varying degrees in debt.
Yes.
We do get donations.
Yes.
But here's the thing. The first two nights' donations go to catering and candy.
Yeah.
And Halloween night donations almost exclusively go to post-Halloween sales.
Yeah.
None of it actually even really makes it into our bank account.
No, it all gets put back into the haunt in some fashion.
And pretty much that year.
Yeah.
Like right away. It's not even like a long-term, we just dumped this into our Home Depot account or something. No,
no.
It's immediate. It goes back in. And most of that money is gone by November 2nd.
Yeah.
So Halloween is a financial hole for us. We spend all year digging out of it.
Yeah.
And usually we dig ourselves out of it just in time to redig it.
Right.
Now, we have had a few years where we got lucky. Some extra money came in at an opportune time.
Right.
And we didn't go in to debt. But 15 years operating, I think that's happened twice or three times.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And this year last year, 2019, was brutal because we had all the monetary investment.
Right.
With none of that donation money.
Right.
So everything we bought at post-Halloween sales was our money.
Yeah.
And we did buy some things. We didn't go as crazy as we normally do.
Right.
But we did buy some things at the post-Halloween sales because we can't help ourselves.
Well, yeah.
But the thing about it was, we didn't have that donation money. Like I said, it's helpful and unhelpful at the same time.
Right.
So that was a little bit extra kick in the pants financially this year.
Yeah.
That, and you switched jobs right around Halloween.
I did.
To the job that you just had to quit because they were being terrible.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I switched jobs on September 31st. September 30th, sorry.
That didn't help either. Long story short, Halloween leaves us broke.
Yeah.
Number 7. Relationship stress between us and others.
Yeah.
We have a saying around these here parts that it's not Halloween season without at least one good fight.
Yeah. That's very true.
And it's not 100% true. I mean, this year, 'cause the way Halloween season worked out, with us getting most of the work done in September, 'cause we started early.
Yeah.
And then finishing it for HauntCon, I don't think we had our major blow-up this year.
No, we commented afterwards how we didn't have a major blow-up this year.
Maybe we should be doing all this haunt work in the cool January air more often.
Yes.
Maybe that'll help. But it always tests our relationship, both our working relationship and our romantic relationship, and it tests our friendships and other relationships, too.
Right.
Ellie, our girlfriend...
Yeah.
Has been amazing.
Yes.
She's been very understanding, very patient, very wonderful through all this, and very helpful.
Yeah.
Others, much less so.
Yeah. Well,
and to
comment about the not having a fight,
mm-hmm.
whenever we were building the cornhole boards, mm-hmm. we started getting passionate, we'll say. And came inside, and we're still passionately yelling at each other. And she goes... I forgot what it's like for you two to work together. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. She's a goddamn angel in this area. I don't know how she puts up with us.
No.
And it's also a problem with families and friends, too. Friends that aren't haunters tend to get neglected around this time of year.
Right.
We're not going out much. We're not going out except to go to other haunted houses. We're not seeing a lot of our musician friends or burlesque friends.
Right.
Or anything like that. And those that are haunters and are working with us, it can be a test there, because if there's a problem,
yeah,
then we may have to resolve this as haunt owners, not as friends.
Right. Exactly. We've had to let people go because they
both, and that's both professionally and personally here.
Yeah, exactly. And whenever you lose part of your haunt family, you lose any friendship you had outside of that too.
Yeah. It's a real test of friendship. Now, we've got a good crew now. I feel very, like, we're reasonably stable with our right. core group. Very happy with everyone.
Yes.
But, my God, we, like I said, we've had friendships end over this.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that walked out of our lives 10 years ago we still don't talk to.
Yeah.
At least not much.
No.
So, long story short, been trying, and I think back on the friendships that might have survived without the haunted house.
Yeah.
But maybe they shouldn't have survived. I don't know. This is getting the philosophy now.
And there are some friendships that we have that we debate whether or not they would survive without the haunted house.
That is also fair. So, there you go. But it is, regardless, a trial by fire for all kinds of relationships, personal, professional, romantic, whatever.
Right.
It's a trial.
Yeah. And also, you know, just the other day we were at the bar and talking to someone who had worked for us, 14 years ago?
Yeah, 12, I think it was 12, 13, but yeah, something yeah. like that.
Yeah, a lifetime ago. And she...
For some of our listeners, a literal lifetime ago.
Well, she now has a totally different life. She's no longer a teenager.
Yeah, that's a help. That helps.
Yeah. She's now a married mom. Which is good for her, but we didn't have anything in common to talk about other than the haunted house and reminiscing about when she was there.
Well, that and plants.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just people meet us in the community and that's all they know about us. So that's all we talk about, which is fine because we do this podcast. So we're fine talking about haunted houses.
Yeah, I hate talking about haunted houses. Listen to Haunt Weekly at HauntWeekly.com on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter.
Yeah.
We hate talking about haunted houses. New tagline. Oh, God.
No.
Anyway, but yeah, I that's another good point.
Yeah.
Number 8, missing October and Halloween.
Yeah.
This is a weird one for us. October has always been our favorite month, and Halloween has always been our favorite holiday.
Yes.
But it's also so intense.
Mm-hmm.
Haunt visits, haunt builds, haunt work.
Stress.
Haunt stress. This is on top of this podcast, the video reviews we do on right. Garbage Horror, and our regular jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I think for the 5 or 6 weeks between, I'd say, middle of September and Halloween, we both put in 80-hour weeks.
Yeah.
With almost no respite.
No.
And there's just no time in any of that to enjoy everything, even like the Houston trip,
right.
which should have been a good opportunity for us to pause, zen out, have our moment. No, we're bouncing from haunt to haunt so fast, we're barely stopping to breathe.
Right.
We never really take that moment to pause and really just enjoy the season.
Yeah.
We don't get that anymore. And I don't know how much of that is because of the haunted house.
Right.
Or how much of it is just, you know, the nature of all the projects we give ourselves that are related to it.
I think a lot of it's self-inflicted.
A lot of it's self-inflicted, but also a lot of it's just that we're haunters and these are the wounds we're going to inflict on ourselves.
Yeah.
You know? Self-inflicted doesn't mean you necessarily had a choice.
Yeah. No, I know. And I know that a lot of people, you know, in the haunt industry who work at haunts for the full season instead mm-hmm. of just the 3 days like we do
mm-hmm.
or less. They always talk about how they miss being able to go to haunted houses.
Yeah, it's
so that's
really
something
funny.
For the other side.
This was the first year
yeah.
we could have gone to Voodoo Fest.
Yeah.
And the lineup fucking sucked.
Yeah, it did. It was terrible.
It was a turd of a lineup.
Yeah, usually they have at least one per.
They had Metallica
group.
1 year.
I know.
I missed Metallica to open a haunt for 12 goddamn motherfuckers. I have not forgotten that.
I know. I told you we could close.
And we should have, but we didn't.
Because I think that was the year that we tried to stay open November 1st.
Maybe.
That was our first and only year to do November 1st. Did not work.
Yeah.
It was a Saturday, so that would have been Halloween weekend.
Yeah. I don't recall, but the point of the matter is, it was the first year we could have gone to Voodoo. This was last year, was the first year we could have gone to Voodoo Fest. No. I've always been curious about it. I'm not a music festival guy.
No.
But Voodoo Fest has always had at least a couple of bands I'm interested in and might be willing to brave a music right. festival to go see. This year, they had absolutely no one.
No.
Even with all the time in the world to go, we chose not to.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Number 9, we're wrapping this list up. We only got 2 more to do. Not liking Christmas.
Yeah.
One of the key questions I get outside every year is, wow, this is great. What are y'all doing for Christmas?
Not a damn thing.
We might do a comedy skeleton Christmas display.
Yeah.
If it makes us laugh, we'll do it.
Yeah.
That's for us, not for anyone else.
Yeah, and that basically started with Ellie, because Ellie is a Christmas fan. And so one of her first Christmas gifts we did was we built her the box from Rare Exports that Santas are shipped in.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen Rare Exports, do. Excellent Christmas horror movie.
Be prepared to read.
Be prepared to read. It's in Finnish, so it's subtitled, but it's an excellent film. And yeah, be ready for a lot of Santa penis.
There is a lot of old man Santa penis.
Yeah, so just be aware of those two things. But anyways, so yeah, we made that box, and we have done Christmas displays, much smaller ones, but we don't do a Christmas haunt.
No.
We're not going to do a Christmas village thing. We just don't like Christmas. Our relationship with Christmas is complicated, and by complicated, I mean hatred.
Yeah, well, I mean, I really like gift giving. I don't like getting gifts. But I also, Christmas tried to kill me for a large part of my life.
Yeah.
I don't trust it.
I don't like what Christmas does to people.
Yeah, that too.
That's to me about 95% of it.
And a lot of it's obligations.
Yeah, exactly.
It a lot of it just feels obligatory. And
you mean obligatory?
Yes. I don't need that pressure.
No, I agree with that. That's insane, the pressure we... Because, I mean, that's just it. It's like, we get out of the pressures of haunt season.
Yeah.
And then they, as in other people, want us to slide and put those same pressures on ourselves for the Christmas and Thanksgiving and Christmas season.
Exactly.
And homie, don't play that.
No.
I need a fucking break. I'm getting a beer. I'm going on a drinking bender for 2 weeks. Screw y'all.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll call you when I'm sober. It's like...
Yeah.
No, that's just not how I work. It's like, I need some time with no obligations other than the most fundamental work, you know, and life obligations that I have. You know, clean your body, clean your house, brush your teeth, do your work, go to bed.
Yeah.
That's the level of obligation I want.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so, yeah, it's just, we always get that pressure dumped on us because they see what we do and they want us to apply it to Christmas. No, just no.
Yeah.
Not our holiday. We're Halloween peeps around here, and that's the end of it. And number 10, I put this one last because I realized as I was making this list, this is the one I perhaps miss the most.
Yeah.
This may be the thing that I actually do hate and do despair about the most.
Yeah.
And that is not being able to enjoy haunted houses the same way.
Yeah.
I remember the very first time I walked into the J.C. Haunted House at the Tri-County State Fair, which is not to be confused with the Tri-State area from Phineas and Ferb. It was the Tri-County Fair near Berkeley, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being so terrified.
Yeah.
And so confused and so bewildered. And yes, all the copyright infringing characters everywhere. Yes, all the unsafe spots they should not have been doing in a haunted house.
Yeah.
I think I kicked a werewolf in the face on accident. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Don't go sniffing around my ankle while the line is hurrying forward. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But yeah, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that feeling, that elation, that high that came with ending it. And I don't get that with haunted houses anymore.
No.
I still enjoy going to haunted houses, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But the experience and why I enjoy it has totally shifted. That's why I said we're not enjoying them the same.
Right. It's like musicians not enjoying music the same way
yeah.
as people who don't play music. and don't know how, you know, what all that's doing, you know.
Yeah. Musicians, listen to me, they're studying the musicianship. They're studying, you know, what the intent and the flow and what they're trying to say, where people who maybe don't know as much about music just kick back, close their eyes, and the music washes over them.
Yes.
That's a completely different sensation.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we are with haunted houses, is we're always analyzing, oh, this is, you know, panel-based construction, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right. Where are their actor runs? Can I see them? How confusing is the layout? What's the lighting like?
What's their scare tactics?
What are their scare tactics? Is it coming from here or there? Is there anything unique in this haunt that I haven't seen before is a big one?
Yeah.
Because I love when that happens.
Well, you know, when does the timing come together to actually startle me a little bit?
Yeah.
But, you know, all these things, like the last time I remember truly being scared anywhere.
Yeah.
Other than, like, actually dangerous situations, well,
obviously.
Was Alien Encounters in Disney World, rest in peace, your wonderful attraction. And that was 16.
Yeah.
That was 24 years ago now.
Yeah.
I haven't had that feeling since, and part of that is because I'm so intimately familiar with how haunted houses are built, acted, and operated, that I feel like as I'm going through, I'm often studying the operation of the haunted house more than I am just letting it wash over me.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. The last time I was startled in a haunted house, I was looking. I should have checked the blind corner, but I didn't.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I've been startled. I've been, hell, whoa.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, hello.
Yes, that's my most common startle reaction, by the
whoa.
Way. If I tell you hello or hi, that means you got me. you know.
As good as it's going to be, it's not going to be a flailing and falling on the floor peeing on yourself reaction.
It's going to be, oh, hi.
Oh, hi. Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, that's the way I am. But it used to be I actually would scream in haunted houses.
Yeah.
I would, you know.
Yeah.
But ever since I've been a haunter and ever since I've identified as a haunter and been working at the craft, that's not been the case.
Yeah.
I miss that.
Yeah. I admittedly did not have the experiences you had growing up where you were able to go to different haunted houses. I didn't go to any kind of haunted house outside of, like, the haunted bus at the school fair or whatever until I was an adult.
Yeah.
And then I loved them, you know.
Yeah, I went to the Tri-County Fair one, then a few years later, my very, very bad parents let me loose on the strip in Myrtle Beach unattended for a time, some money.
Yeah.
And I went to, apparently, the Leonard Pickle operated haunt that was on the strip.
Yeah.
I didn't learn that until much later in life.
Right.
It was him. And now I know why every scare is coming from the left, because God damn it, it's a giant horseshoe.
Yeah. And there's one actor.
One actor popping everywhere. But, you know, I remember those two very, very vividly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have that same response anymore. And it's kind of funny because we talked about how we went to the haunt in Galveston.
Right.
And that, a Leonard Pickle built haunt. One actor.
Yeah.
Very similar horseshoe pattern. Very similar everything.
Yeah.
But a totally different experience. Now that I'm coming back with all this haunt experience, I'm studying the panels, I'm studying the scare design, studying the angles of the strikes and the startles, and I'm noticing that this one actor is really busting his goddamned ass in there.
Yeah.
Mad respect to that. He was sweating.
Yeah.
He was sweating. And boy, he was sweating like MJ after a round of one-on-one basketball. He was all...
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's, you know, we've built haunts to where I worked multiple, multiple scares on different sides of the haunt with, you know, pass-throughs to get back and forth and, you know, and other people... We built it for other people to do that, too. One actor having three scares, and it's murder on an actor.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine running around that entire thing.
So, yeah, we're studying that, though, and not really enjoying the haunt itself. And it's a different experience.
It is.
Well, on that note, everyone, that's all we have this week.
Yeah.
I don't have any final thoughts. I'm sorry it was a bit of a downer, but maybe we'll do sometime later a things we love about haunting. Next week is the news, so we'll be doing that. But Once again, though, please take the time out. Go to hauntweekly.com. Join us there. You can also just find us at Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. YouTube.com/HauntWeekly is our YouTube channel. You can get all the previous episodes there easily. And also, you can find us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. What's up?
Okay, and also, thank you for all of you for mentioning us on the Haunter Hangout threads about what podcasts to listen to.
Yes, all
we appreciate
you
sending
people.
Us listeners.
Yes, multiple people have been doing that. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Until next time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
This is Haunt Weekly, episode 219, talking about 10 things we hate about being haunters. We will see you guys next week.